Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, hello. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you on this wonderful celebratory afternoon. Because what a celebration! As the fans on board and those listening online will know that we are still celebrating the 50th Independence of Jamaica, and what a celebration it has been. Not only are we celebrating, but I think the whole entire world is now celebrating with us because of the triple victory today. Three medals, gold, silver, and bronze, all going to one country. I don't know if I'm correct in saying that it may just be the first time. I'll have to go check my facts on that. But what I want us to do before we get into all these juicy details is to take our virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. So how we do that, if you're new to the show, is that if you've been there or you grew up there, or you even read about it, or you've been celebrating with us, you know that at this time of the evening, the trade winds blow softly across the entire island. And we are always so chilled, no problem on. We're in the backyard, the front porch, on the deck, on the beach, in the hammock, anywhere. Just relaxing. Because it's two things we do well in Jamaica, if, among other things, is we know how to party and we know how to relax. The island is like one big tranquilizer when we want to relax. So this evening, we're relaxing before we get into our celebration. Because if you are like me, I know you've been perhaps glued to the television and you've been celebrating for quite a while, and today sort of just we turned it up. But this evening, if you are on my list, you will know that we're here to celebrate the independence and our wonderful athletes that are really just turning it on and putting it on. But I want to be specific in the fact that several of the news media, the commentators are saying that that Bolt is the first person to bring home a gold medal for Jamaica, and I'm here now to celebrate someone from my generation that is perhaps forgotten by most of these people who are supposed to know. So we're going to talk about him tonight, as well as our wonderful young athletes. So as usual, I want to ask callers in on the board to hit 1 on your keypad, your telephone, really, whenever you want to join the Labrish, because that's what this is all about, interacting and communicating and just being relaxed. So if you've been watching all the news, you know what happened today, so I don't have to go over that. But I wanted to give a couple of little tidbits before I start on the star of the evening, which is Mr. Arthur S. Wint. I wanted to know, I came across some facts about our big main superstar that I wondered if any of the listeners knew about him. And I wonder, I can open it up right now, if anyone know how he got the name of Lightning Bolt. If anyone does, put your hand up by hitting 1 on your telephone. We're going to have some fun tonight, because I just found that out. I just thought because his name was Bolt, and in Jamaica we put a little name or to everything and everyone. But this I found in the documentation, and I don't see any hands, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about him that they might not be talking about now. But Bolt grew up in Trelawney, Jamaica, with his parents, Jennifer and Wesley Bolt, and his sister, Shireen. Bolt expressed a love for dancing, and his character is frequently described as laid back and relaxed. Now, the first sport to interest him was cricket, and he said, if he wasn't a sprinter, he would be a fast bowler instead. Bolt's Jamaican track and field idols include Herb McKinley and former Jamaica 200-meter record holder Don Quarry, Michael Johnson, and former 200-meter world and Olympic record holder is also held in high esteem by Bolt. After winning the 200-meter title in 2002 World Junior Championship in Kingston, Jamaica, Bolt signed a sponsorship deal with Puma to promote Bolt's chase for Olympic gold in 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing, China. Puma released a series of videos, including Bolt's then world record-setting run in the stadium, and his Olympic preparations. After his world record breaking the run in New York City, which was preceded by a lightning storm, the press frequently made puns on the Jamaican's name, nicknaming him Lightning Bolt, and the Bolt from the blue. Now, during the Beijing 2008 100-meter finals, Bolt wore golden Puma spikes that had Beijing 100-meter gold emblazoned across them. So that is how he got the name. Now, one of the reasons why I saw this is because, incidentally, we had a lightning storm here in my city today, and I was a little afraid that I was not going to be able to make this broadcast, because, as you know, everything is connected to our electricity. Well, everything I have, I know that some of the smartphones aren't, but unfortunately, you know, my computer is and my phone is, so I was a little concerned that I was not going to be able to broadcast tonight. But here I am. But I thought that was interesting. That's how he got his name of the Lightning Bolt, which was quite appropriate. I thought that was done before he became a star, but apparently not. So now we know. Excuse me, I'm getting a little raspy here. So I hope that information was interesting to you. But here is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to correct some of the errors that have been going on. And I know we're all so excited, and because of all the media and the level of the technical things that we have now, like the internet, when the person I'm going to speak about now made his big mark on the world, three quarters of the world couldn't see it because we have television. So I'm saying that to say how wonderful a time we live in now. And I'm really hoping that more seniors will seize the opportunity to really embrace the technology. Because, you know, it is really priceless. It is bringing the world closer together. Like today, everybody was one big family. I saw where Jamaica House in London just erupted in total joy when we had, you know, 1, 2, 3. I don't think that was, if someone knows on the board, please let me know. But I don't think that was ever done. So, you know, Jamaica is the first so many times in so many things that I'll go back to what we would say in Jamaica, we little but we talawa. So for people who don't really understand the lingo, it would mean we are small, but we are powerful. And that has been proven many, many, many times. But a lot of the times when there have been Jamaicans doing things all over the world, we did not have the kind of press that we have now. The communication was not the same. People didn't know what was happening. Even people who lived right there on the island while the things were happening didn't know about them. So just really, really embrace it. So today is very, very special to everybody in the world, plus it's exceptionally special to Jamaicans on the island and all over the world. So let me just tell you now, for those who might not know him, a lot of Jamaicans do, but I noticed this name was not even mentioned. What I was reading you there is what I took off the internet from Wikipedia or someplace. But about the article that I saw three articles today, one on Yahoo and two other places that are all mentioning that Usain Bolt is the first gold medalist for Jamaica. So let's correct that now. Arthur Stanley Wint, nickname Bumpy. This is from Wikipedia, folks. His height was 6'4", and he weighed 170 pounds. He was born in 1920, and he died in 1992. He was 72 years old when he died. So as far as medals, he had 2 gold medals, 2 silver, a total of 4. So Arthur Wint, athlete, doctor, and diplomat, born the 25th of May, 1920, served in the RAF, which is the Royal Army Air Force, for Americans that might not recognize that. From 1942 to 1947, he was a medical practitioner from 1953 to 1973. He was Jamaica's High Commissioner to London from 1974 to 1978. He was a doctor and surgeon in charge of the Linstead General Hospital in Jamaica from 1978 to 1985. He was married in 1949 to Norma Marsh. He has 3 daughters and died in Kingston, Jamaica, on the 19th of October, 1992. So for the records, I hope that the other folks will get their records right. Not only did he have one goal, but he had 2 goal records. Folks, get it right. And, of course, especially the older generation in Jamaica, talk a lot, and I'm going to read some of those things to you about him actually setting the pace for these wonderful athletes that we have now really, really turning it on. So let me just finish with the Wikipedia article, then we'll open up the board for some more talk, hopefully, Labrish, and then I will give you some more details. But Arthur Wint was a great pioneer of Jamaican athletes, and with his compatriot, Herb McKinley, George Roden, and Les Lang, amazed the world at two successful Olympic Games. He came to Britain during the Second World War and served as a flying officer in the RAF. He appeared at the White City Stadium in 1945 and won the 440 yards in front of a packed bank holiday crowd. The following year, he won both the 440 and the 880 yards title at the first AAA championships after the war. He went on to win four more titles, one at 440 yards and two at 880 yards. It was at the Olympic Games at Wembley that he made his mark internationally. He took the silver medal behind the American Mal Whitfield in the 800 meters and then went on to win the 400 ahead of his more fancied McKinley, with Whitfield third. With 46.2 seconds, he equaled the Olympic record. In the 4x4 relay, in which Jamaica was expected to challenge for a medal, tragedy struck when Wint, seized by cramps, collapsed on the red cider track, and the team did not finish. 4 years later, at the age of 32, Wint elected to defend his 400 title, but he found the task too much for him and had to give up to his countrymen, Roden and McKinley. In the 800 meter, he again succumbed to Whitfield and had to be content with a second silver. Jamaica's day of glory, however, came in the final event of the games, the 4x4 relay. Wint was the head-off man, and he gave his country the narrowest of margins. There followed an epic battle with the U.S., with the lead constantly changing. In the end, the athletes from the tiny Caribbean island triumphed by just 1/10 of a second in 3.039 for a new world record. Hello. Outside the National Stadium in Kingston, there is a statue which is said to be a composite of the team. The governor decreed a national holiday, but after the day of celebrating came the day of reckoning, as many animals were brought to the courts for, oh God, breaches of liquor laws. So everybody got a little tipsy, I suppose. And their plea, Helsinki, Your Honor. They're being funny. Incidentally, folks, this is not from Wikipedia. The first part that I read you about the bio was. But this was from an article from an English website, because they too were trying to combat what was being written now about Usain Bolt being the first gold medalist for Jamaica. So it goes on to say, Wint was tall and assuming, a character who toured Britain with his more flamboyant colleague, the Trinidadian who was Emmanuel MacDonald Bailey. And I'm reading out these names because some of the listeners on the board might be familiar with some of these names from that time. I don't remember this well. This person's name. I remember McKinley and Wint, of course, but they're talking about now some other people here. His contribution to athletics has been immense, and he was the inspiration that gave birth to such Jamaican stars as Don Quarry, Grace Jackson, and Merlene Otte. It is extraordinary that such a small island has produced so many athletes, stars, but it is true that none has been such a fine ambassador as Arthur Winch. And I want to read you what, I think this came from something that was said by one of the Jamaican speakers. He may not be a household name for modern-day spectators, but Arthur Wint won gold the last time the Olympics were held in London in 1948, Jamaica's first ever Olympic gold medal winner, equaled the world record of 46.2 seconds in the 400 final at Wembley Stadium, coming from behind to beat compatriot Herb McKinley, who took silver. So in that particular year, we just didn't have the bronze then, but we had gold and silver in the 400, which today, or I don't remember if it was yesterday, we had gold, silver, and bronze. So I wanted to set the record straight on that. And we're always so inspired when, you know, our countrymen just perform. But this gentleman was not just an athlete, but he left a legacy of sportsmanship, you know, being a wonderful diplomat and giving back, because he became a surgeon and the only doctor for whatever his specialty was in one of our country hospitals. So talk about a wonderful human being. And, you know, he has a vibrant family that is still very active, because later on I'm going to open up for some labrish now. But one of his daughters, his eldest daughter, has written a book about his life, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that now. But I'd like to know if any of the callers on the board, and I see we have quite a few, would like to share. They might know something about him, or, you know, just want to share. So just put your hand up by hitting one on the telephone. And if you're listening online, I want to welcome you, but to tell you that the number is somewhere there that you can call in if you want to interact with us. So do I have any raised hands? Okay, I don't see any. Don't tell me you're raising your hands that I can't see, because sometimes I hope my board is not messed up. But I guess nobody wants to talk to me, so I'll have to continue to read. Okay, is everybody sleeping, or are you watching television while you're listening to me? Okay, no hands. So let me tell you now a little bit about what I found out about Mr. Arthur Wint. He went to Calabar, yes, let's go there. His daughter, the title of his daughter's book is The Long Run, A Daughter's Story. And it was presented recently when, I think it was Calabar was celebrating some special event. And the former Prime Minister, Mr. P.J. Patterson, gave the address. And this is what the gleaner had to say about that. You know, they didn't print his address verbatim, but they took parts of it that they wrote an article about, which I am reading from. It says here, Dr. Arthur Wint was treated like a god in Finland former Prime Minister PJ Patterson revealed when he gave his address recently at the presentation of the book, The Longer Run, A Daughter's Story of Arthur Wint. And her name is Valerie Wint, and the event was held at Calabar School's 100th anniversary. And the title then was Raising the Bar. And it was presented on Dr. Wint's 92nd birthday, which I think was quite cool. Now, Patterson was referring to Dr. Wint's 4 years of diplomatic service from 1974 to 1978, when he served as High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, an ambassador to Sweden, Denmark, and Finland. As Minister of Foreign Affairs, Patterson made a government trip to Finland with Ambassador Wint. There he was able to observe firsthand the 1948 Olympic 400-meter gold medalist received from the citizens of Finland. It was clear that they not just remembered, but highly respected Dr. Wint. It was in their capital, Helsinki, 25 years earlier that Jamaica, with Wint running the first leg, had won the 4x4 Olympic gold medal in the then world record time of 3 minutes and 4.4 seconds. But I have a treat for you, because now I was able to find a clip of the actual commentary of the race in which he ran he got the gold medal. So what I'm going to do, you know how I virtually take you to Jamaica when we start to sit in your easy chair and get your rum and Coca-Cola or whatever? But now you can imagine, we didn't have TVs in those days, so a lot of people could see it. You still can't see it, but you can hear it. So now I'm going to play for you.
A British Commonwealth United States battle with McKinley and Wint of Jamaica and Whitfield of the USA. They're off. World record holder McKinley dashes into the lead, and at the halfway mark is almost 10 yards up on the rest of the field. Coming into the home stretch, it's Wint who challenges the leader. 50 yards from the tape, it seemed impossible that he could do it. But he comes through with a magnificent effort to equal the Olympic record time of 46.2 seconds. Slow motion emphasizes his perfect action at the end of a brilliant race. This outstanding 6'4" athlete credits Jamaica with her first Olympic victory ever.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you see, it's a fact. And not only that, because we were then a British colony, you heard what was being played. God Save the Queen or King, I don't remember who it was there. But now, today, the young athletes are getting their medal with the Jamaican anthem. And what a celebration. So I hope you enjoyed that little clip. And I'd like someone from the board to tell me if it came through and if they could hear it, please, because I don't know. I'm listening to it, but I don't know if you were able to hear it. Is anyone there? Okay, I see a hand, and I'm going to open the mic. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard looking for company. Who do I have?
This is Lay in the Bronx, and I heard it loud and clear.
So I'm not just saying so. It's true. We got to get those guys to know that there was one before.
Yeah. Well.
I can't believe they have so much. You know, that's why you really can't read everything, trust everything you read on the internet.
Yeah, this is true. And I probably was, 1948, right, Helsinki?
Mm-hmm.
I
no,
remember...
no, 1948 when he won it. It wasn't right there in London.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The Helsinki one was the relay.
Which is the one you just broadcast? In,
that was the 400.
But that was...
that was him alone winning, passing McKinley and getting the gold.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And that was in Wimbledon in 48 in London.
Okay, got you.
Got me?
Yeah.
I see another hand open up. I'm going to open the mic and just welcome, and then we can all chat. But good evening. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
This is Carl from Mount Vernon in New York.
Hi, Carl. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you, and I do confirm that the sound quality, I know it's always a risky business.
Yeah.
Relaying sound, especially a tape that goes back so far.
Right.
Quality usually
right.
is not the best. But it came through very well.
Wonderful.
And I was reminded that we used to stand for the British anthem, which was the God Save the King at that time.
Was it the King at that time in 1948?
Yes, I think it was the King, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also, you spoke about the inspiration to other young athletes coming up. I remember the Spence twins also were inspired, going back to all of those guys from McKinley, Wint, Leng and Roden and so on. And also the statue that was created outside the National Stadium was created by our great artist Alvin Marriott, and it was a composite of three of the then outstanding athletes, that is Wint, McKinley, and I think Roden. And so I think it's very, very revealing what you're doing up to this point regarding Dr. Wint.
Mm-hmm.
And,
because even the people that might know him as an athlete perhaps don't know what the rest of his life was like.
Yes, and I didn't even realize that he lived as long as he did.
Uh-huh.
And the time that he died, I thought that he'd already passed on before I left Jamaica.
Yes,
but,
no, it's 92 that happened.
Yeah, yes. So that.
Mr. Nunes, did you? Did you? Were you familiar with his information at that time when you were in Jamaica?
Oh yes. I think every schoolboy was proud to know that a Jamaican was doing all of these things in sports, and I knew all about it. I mean, I was quite young at the time, but I think every schoolboy must have known about it.
Right. The
Wints lived not very far from where I lived, and I knew his brother very well, because his brother swam, I think, for Calabar, as I did for St. George's.
Oh, yes. Well, it talked about him, being a swimmer, too. He was swimming at one time.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I saw something here about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to, as soon as we finish this, give you a little more details of his life, because I think he was such a big statue that a lot of people might not even know. I don't know if it's since the book or people knew about it before. I just stated because you know, like how we didn't have as much communication as they have now. Everybody in Jamaica and perhaps billions of people all over the world could instantly watch, because now you don't even have to have a computer anymore. You know, just people could actually watch the race on their smartphones
right.
In the middle of the desert. We
yeah.
out in the African boonies or, you know, in the Sahara Desert. If you had a cell phone, a smartphone, you could get everything as if you were there. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you were right.
We were right there in Jamaica, and I don't remember. We had radios in 48?
Of course we had radios.
Okay, I can't remember. That's how senior I am. But my point is, we would have to be glued to the radio.
Well, literally, we were glued to our radio. I mean,
right.
BBC.
So, I mean, that is all you would hear, what I just broadcast. That is
yeah.
all you would hear, really.
Yeah.
So just the emotion of being able to see them, you know, in real time. And my point is, people all over the world today that were into sports, I'm sure some people weren't, but were seeing Jamaicans 1, 2, 3. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Now, any of you guys know if this has happened in the track before, where one country got all three medals?
Well, I wouldn't swear for it, but I'm sure it may have happened before. They didn't say
I
today.
I don't
that
know either,
was...
but I haven't had time to really, you know, research it.
Yeah.
And I want to be accurate when I say it, not like some of these people that is talking about Bolt, although we, you know, we love him and nobody has done what he has done, but they keep saying he's the first gold medalist for Jamaica.
And
being a senior, I am really wanting the seniors to get a little, you know, respect.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Jamaica's had first and third or second and third or, you know, two people on the platform.
Right, because even in Wynn's time, they did it.
Yes.
They did
know.
It.
But 1, 2, 3 would require a little bit of research whether any other country did so in the past.
Right.
And
well,
remember,
quite exciting.
I remember also there were also female stars.
Yes, we have lots of female stars, lots of them. Not you know, just from even from long ago.
Oh yeah.
Well, that,
today.
That's a phenomenon because until Title IX, countries didn't really promote sending females to the Olympics.
Right.
So when it did happen, Jamaica was right to the forefront as well.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
As we usually are. So let me tell you a little bit about this, the former Prime Minister's speech at the opening of the book. It says, he said, Dr. Wint raised the bar. Did I read this already? For every Jamaican athlete competing on the world stage after 1948. It is no exaggeration to assert that Dr. Arthur Wint laid the foundation for Jamaica as a world brand. From Herb McKinley, George Roden, through Don Quarry, Marlene Otte, Dion Hemmings, Veronica Campbell-Brown, to Asfa Powell, Ewan Blake and Usain Bolt, Arthur Wint created the template, and he blazed the trail and will continue to inspire future generations. Now, he was a caliber old boy. in establishing Dr. Wint's foundational relationship with Calabar, Patterson remarked that he was a Calabar student, and that the teachers, old boys, and other guests that were at the event, he was saying, it is fitting that the book, The Longer Run, A Daughter's Story of Arthur Wing, is being presented within the Calabar community, and we celebrate our centenary and also honor one of our most distinguished alumni. For it was at Calabar that Wint's athletic genius first became evident, where he first gave notice for all who could discern it of his extraordinary talents. The former Prime Minister continued to trace Wint's contributions to Calabar by stating, Arthur immersed himself fully in the life of the school. His bearings and manner were those of a young man destined for greatness. In his first year, 10-year-old Wint was the star performer at the 1932 Boys Champs, winning both the Class 3 sprints. He repeated his feat the following year, when for the fourth consecutive year, the Championship Cup came to Calabar, then at Studley Park Road. Mm. In 1935 and 1936, Wint continued to be an outstanding performer for the school in athletics. And in 1937, Wint was the champion athlete. And I was such a little girl when all of this was going on. But Patterson revealed to the audience some unfamiliar facts. What is not so well known is that Arthur Wint won as many medals for the school in swimming as he did in athletics. That's where I saw it lay, so I wanted to point that out to you.
Right.
Well. In 1934, Calabar's swim team, with Arthur Wint in Class 2, dominated the meet, assessing 61 points. The Simpson Shield was taken to Studley Park, where it would remain for 7 consecutive years as the school established its supremacy in international swimming.
Wow.
So he was also a great swimmer.
That's a big revelation. Wow.
Yes, these are the facts that I find so intriguing, because a lot of times when, you know, they just cover one area of a person's life, if some of the, you know, the modern newscasters. In placing Wint's legacy in perspective with the upcoming 2012 Olympics, Patterson said, today's event is also of timely and pointed significance because Arthur Wint won Jamaica's first medal in 1948 Olympics. The Olympics have returned to London for the first time since then. We expect that our national anthem, will be played again and again. This is the 50th year of our independence. How cool is that?
Cool, very cool.
Very, very cool. I mean, I'm always so thrilled, like a little giggly teenager, when I'm reading all of these fascinating stories, because, you know, although I'm a senior, I'm reading about him just shining as a star or coming out as a star in 1937. You know what I mean? And I say, how cool is that? That, you know, and I always like to talk about the importance of helping the next generation, the younger generation, in whatever way we can to by using the past. So many of our people had strong foundations. And those who didn't, you know, had other people that would help and support them. They were very disciplined. And especially in the old days, you had to be. Right now, you still have to be in sports. But so many of the young people, I think, tend to believe that everything is so is much more difficult now, and that it may be harder for them to achieve their dreams, you know, and accomplish their goals. And I really would like to encourage them to look at the people from the past, because a lot of times they get so caught up in the now that they don't necessarily look too much in the past. So I want to point these things out with the hope that when we are gone, you know, this will still be in the cloud someplace, because all of our shows are archived and they can be accessed at any time by anybody, any part of the world. So I keep going to that because I want the seniors to really know how important and powerful this medium that we're using can be. So we all have a legacy. We all have a legacy that we can leave to make ourselves immortal. And we can leave it in different ways. But using the technology that we have available to us now is a great way to do it. You can communicate with people in other parts of the world, that you can mentor, that you can help in some way with your ideas, with just your concerns or, you know, your whatever. But I really believe that seniors need to get more comfortable with using the technology that we have available to us. So I don't know if any of you gentlemen want to comment on any of that. Sometimes I can rattle on when I get so inspired by my people of the past.
Well, yeah, you know, sports in those days was quite different than it is now. For instance, the youth that go into sports, regardless of what it might be, most likely, let's say basketball, they go, their motivation is the money.
Money, yep,
right.
Yep.
In Wynn's time, you know, they thought about country first, and money wasn't the driver,
no.
You know.
Wasn't, no.
You had to find your way, or if your government would let you do it, to go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Now
yep.
You have sponsors, you got this, you got that. If you're successful, you get big bucks and the whole thing. So, you know, it's a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I went to school, our headmaster didn't want to hear about sports. Even though, you know, we excelled in certain things, like, I mean, I hear you say Calabar had 7 consecutive years of swimming. We had 15 consecutive years of swimming. And our headmaster wasn't impressed by any of that. He just wanted to know that your academics were on par, else out you go.
Right. Because, you know, what these athletes the upcoming ones have to realize, that if you get injured, you know, it can really greatly affect your income. If you're only going for it for the money, it can be very short-lived.
Yep.
So let me give you a little more information about Mr. Arthur Stanley Wynn, because we're here this evening to celebrate him as we celebrate our present-day athletes, too. But because I know that even as we speak, the whole world is buzzing with information about all of the athletes that are there representing Jamaica, but especially, you know, Eustain, who were also proud of all of them. But very little is known collectively of the athletes of the past. So I want to keep going back to the fact that this evening we are celebrating Dr. Wint. So let me tell you now another article. I think this one is from Wikipedia, I feel sure. Arthur Stanley Wint, and it tells when he was born, 1920 to 1992, and it says here again, was the first Jamaican Olympic gold medalist, winning the 400 in the 1948 Summer Olympics. Now, he was known as the Gentle Giant, and he was born in Plowden, Manchester. Have you ever heard of Plowden? P-L-O-W-D-E-N.
No.
Never heard of it. You see, a lot of people believe that if you're from Jamaica, you sort of know everywhere, you know. But Plowden, Manchester, is where he was born. Now, while at Calabar School, he ran the sprints and did both the high jump and long jump. He later transferred to Excelsior High School and finished his secondary education there. In 1937, he was the Jamaican Boy Athlete of the Year. The following year, he won a gold medal in the 800 at Central American Games in Panama. In 1942, he joined the British Commonwealth Air Training Plan and set the Canadian 400-meter record while training there. He was sent to Britain for active combat during World War II as a pilot. He left the Royal Air Force in 1947 to attend St. Bartholomew, I can hardly see it, hospital as a medical student. Bartholomew. Now, my paper was creased. In 1948, Wint won Jamaica's first Olympic gold for the 400 in London, beating his teammate, we know that already. In Helsinki, I said that already. Okay, so let me just tell you now that I think I told you about his, when he was an ambassador, the countries that he was in charge of, Sweden, Denmark, and all of that. But I just needed to fill in the different schools that he went to because I know that they're old boys from all these schools, and I'm sure that during their time they might have had something in the school about him. So from what I gather from this lay, it seems like the last school he went to was Excelsior.
Seems that way.
Right. And even that article didn't mention too much about the swimming. So a lot of times to get more details, I have to fish, you know, all over different articles. There could be newspaper articles or somebody writing a blog or something. But so far, I know that his wife is still alive. There's a video that I received that really alerted me about the importance of featuring him this week because so many of the news releases were saying, you know, about the first. And then I got this video and that it sort of tweaked my interest. But it was done by an English, I don't know if it was BBC, but it was done by an English commentator who apparently went out to Jamaica and interviewed his wife. And they didn't even talk about his book on that video, but they did speak to his great-grandson, or his grandson, I'm not too sure, who lives in London and is also an athlete. And he's quite a pretty good runner. You know, he seems quite young, just a teenager. But it was quite interesting, and that's really what tweaked my interest about doing this story. And as I mentioned to most of the listeners, that when I am reading from these things, I'm really seeing it reading it for the first time thoroughly. I will glance at the headline and, you know, scan through it to get the material to fill in from one to the other, because a lot of it sometimes repeats. So I'm trying to piece it together as I go along. But I hope that I'm almost at my 1 hour mark. I hope that this shed some light on who was the first, and I hope some of the big stations and all the writers in some of these newspapers will eventually get it right. And this is not to take away any glory from our present athletes, because, you know, they're phenomenal, but it's just to have the record straight. So would you agree with me, Labrishers?
Yes,
you're right, of course.
100%. And you referred to the lack of sponsorship in those days. I remember, as a matter of fact, the Spence twins in their biography reminded us that even the families who were not well, you know, financially secure, were able to take some of their little money towards helping the athlete to get the outfits, the equipment, and the fares to go to these events.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike today, where once you are in the limelight and you're performing well, you get so many commercial entities that fall in line and try to do what they can, and big money starts to flow.
Right.
But in the old days, it was for the glory and the joy of the game, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, so.
Yeah, uh-huh. Here's a little more information. He ran his final race in 1953 at Wimbledon Stadium. And he finished his internship, graduated as a doctor, and the following year, he was made a member of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II. In 1955, when he returned to Jamaica, eventually settling in Hanover as the only resident doctor in the parish.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
And in 1973, he was awarded the Jamaican Honor of the Order of Distinction. He served as the Jamaica High Commissioner to Britain and the Ambassador to Sweden, Denmark, which I told you before. And I'm getting a little chesty here because of, you know, all the things I have to manage medically. So we're right at almost 9 o'clock, and I sort of scheduled this to be an hour tonight. So we'll be signing off shortly. But not once did I remind the listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock, where we're always labrishing about something positive. Mostly I do historical stories from the past, just because I call myself giving a voice to some of the historians that have some fantastic stories about Jamaica and Jamaicans that I never heard before. I found them and read them online. So I do hope that the listeners on the board, those listening online, and those who may come by later on, enjoy discovering these new facts about Jamaica. And I do try to, as much as I can, to stick to the facts. I do hope you enjoyed. And if you have an idea for a show, if you would visit the website at www.backyardlabrish.com, and the Labrish is spelled Labrish, and just send us a note as to what you'd like to hear, then I would really appreciate it. And as usual, I really appreciate your support for all the fans that come by later and listen to the show and that send the shows around to their friends, I am eternally grateful because it's very encouraging to see the numbers. And if you did not hear before, I had set a goal as to be able to say that we've had 50,000 downloads, which means that collectively the shows have been listened to 50,000 times. We've gone over that now. And I wanted to be able to celebrate that for our wonderful 50th independence anniversary. So I want to thank you for helping me accomplish that. So, Mr. Who's still open on the board? I see 914665. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So we're about to sign off, and I wondered if you had any parting words for the rest of the world.
No, I celebrate the 50th anniversary of Jamaica's independence, and it was significant to note the singing of the British anthem, "God Save the King," and now we are singing "Jamaica, Land We Love."
Right. So I guess you will help join me in as I do my little, goodbye when I say we're here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica.
Land we love.
So please make it a wonderful week because you have the power to do so. So hope you'll come by next week when we will have some other interesting labrish about the land we love. So with that said, good night and be good and come back next week and bring some friends.
God bless.
Bye.
God bless. Bye.
Thank you.